All right, everyone. It's Elisa DiLorenzo and Tony, and we are here to do the first Rescue My Marriage Today, Module Zero, Laying the Foundation Coaching Call and Q&A. And as we get started, and part of the reason why we're recording this module from the get-go is that there's some housekeeping things that we want to take care of and we want to make you all aware of. And so for those that can't make it on, we figured they'll listen to the replay. And so we're just going to handle all of the housekeeping in this first session here. The first thing is that we would love to know who we're talking to. And the easiest way for that to happen is if you can type in the chat your name and how long you've been married. I know some of you have already put this information on the Facebook page, but just as everybody's coming on, I know some people aren't on Facebook, some people are just coming onto the webinar because they just signed up for Rescue My Marriage Today and haven't had a chance to join Facebook yet. So it just helps. And part of what's going to happen in these coaching calls is that all of you are going to get to know each other. And in doing so, you're going to find that you're not alone. And that's part of the reason why we do the group coaching calls. And you're also going to find that there are people that you can connect with. Tom and Val, Steve and Melissa, Jacksonville, Florida, Barry and is it Lana? Am I pronouncing that properly?
Married 24 years.
24 years. Jeff and Lisa Vogel, married 10 years. Married 2.5 years. That would be Tom and Val. Awesome, guys. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I know as for me and for Tony and you, even just seeing some of the comments that are going in the Rescue My Marriage Today, Jamie and Adam, welcome. Awesome. The Facebook group, Lana. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you so much for the phonetics pronunciations. That definitely helps. And then I can always go back and make sure that I'm pronouncing it properly. I know that we've got another couple in here where on the first webinar that they were on, I totally butchered her name. And now I've got it because she gave me the phonetics. So Brian Austin, just under 2 years. Karen Phil, married Las Vegas, married almost 2 years.
Awesome. Christy and Tony, 4 years. Awesome.
Awesome, guys. Lots. So in doing this, this is definitely a way for us all to know who we're talking to and just mm-hmm. to get an idea of how long people have been married. I mean, we've got everywhere here from just under 2 years to, I think it was what, 24 years?
24 years.
Yep. Is the longest one and everything in between. So you get to see that people, it doesn't matter whether you've been married just a short period of time or you've been married a long period of time, there's always room to improve your marriage. So that being said, there are a couple ground rules on the coaching calls. One is that everything that happens on here is confidential to the group.
Right.
So I know we've got Karen Phil in Las Vegas, and there's that joke that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And the truth is what happens on the coaching calls stays on the coaching calls. And that's, I don't care what you do in Vegas, but on the coaching calls, it really does matter that what stays here stays confidential. So that as we've got a couple of questions that we're going to read and address here for coaching. And if anything comes up in the chat or even in the questions that show up in the Q&A here, it's important that there be a level of trust. I'm sure a lot of you that are coming on board, you know that broken trust can be very detrimental to the relationship. Well, broken trust can be very detrimental in a coaching relationship as well. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that everybody is respecting everybody else's trust. Another coaching caveat that I have that I've used with my coaching clients for the last 5 years now is there is no bashing of spouses. You know, one of the things that we're working with each one of you on in the next 8 weeks is really having an environment of encouragement, an environment of strength, an environment of mm-hmm. growth in your marriage. And one of the easiest ways to undermine that is to start bashing on your spouse. To start, you know, it's the stereotypical Hollywood blockbuster where a woman gets together with all her friends and she just starts, you know, my husband does this. And it's this laundry list of things that he does wrong. Or, you know, guy gets together with his buddies and it's the same thing. My wife and rah, 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 rah. We're not doing that here, right? We are laying the ground rule from the get-go that it's going to be positive and it's going to be encouraging. That's not to say that if there isn't something going on in your marriages, and we know just from the little bit of information we already have that there's a lot going on in your marriages. It's one thing to share what's going on. It's a whole other thing to bash on your spouse. And Tony and I will definitely be monitoring that. We're not afraid to say, you know what, let's take a time out there and let's just get this back on track.
Yeah. So from a technology standpoint, I just want to bring everybody up to date on what we got going on. So on your screen share, you should see your homepage. I've added our live session access info right here for everybody. So that way, no matter what week it is, here's your information right here. You can get it. I will be sending those out though on a weekly basis, because when I send that email out, if you do have questions, just reply back. It's totally cool. You can reply right to that email if you have a question that has come up. Questions, if you have questions any other time during the week, you can go right here, our MMT question at oneextraordinarymarriage.com. That comes to us. You guys, most of you have found this module 0 right here. Module 1 will be added after our call. That's when I'll put the new one up. I'm trying to decide on how to put all these coaching calls in. Right now, my thought is that in each module, to make it easy for all of us to know where it is, I'm going to add a video at the end here, and it'll just say coaching call, and then that way we all can see that. On Facebook, that's a lively conversation. We want to keep it lively. We want to hear what's going on, because where you're at now, you didn't get to overnight, and we realize that. And so there's going to be some layers of the onion that we're going to be peeling back over the 8 weeks. You put in there as much as you feel comfortable putting in. There's never a point where Elise and I are going to say, hey, you need to add more in there. If it's something that we feel that we need to have a discussion off Facebook, we'll make sure to reach out to you so you can explain a little bit more. And then that way we can sort of look at that and then bring it to the coaching call here and answer. We will answer those anonymously if you ask us to, because we want the group to hear what's going on. That's the greatest thing about group coaching, is that different things are going on and it can help other folks. It can trigger other folks to go, oh my goodness, that's happening with us. In Facebook, you'll see a couple of new admins. Obviously, you'll see Elisa and I in there. Jan is our administrative assistant. She called many of you or left messages for you guys. She's on vacation this week. So if we're a little delayed getting back to you, it's because we don't have Jan here helping us.
Or if you haven't gotten a phone call yet.
Yes.
Because she went on vacation late on Friday.
Right. And then you'll also see Kendra. And Kendra, she's our marketing strategist, and she helps us with so much stuff and understanding of how to help you guys the best way possible. So you'll see her in there as well. They're both part of our team. We love them. They've been part of our team for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. So those are areas. If there's something that goes wonky on you, please don't hesitate to reach out. You know, we may not get right back to you. Give us, you know, 12, 24 hours. We'll definitely get back to you. I try to do all that the best I can. So if there's any questions in that arena, don't hesitate to ask.
One other thing I wanted to say about Facebook too is that if you do send us a question, you've already seen a couple of these come up where it's coming as an email, and because it applied to the whole group, or it may be something that the whole group is interested in knowing, we've put into the Facebook page, you know, email received,
right,
and then an answer or response, or I forget exactly how I worded it, but you know, that way it starts to become that library of information. I mean, obviously you've got all the modules here right on the page, but then you also have that Facebook page that you can go back to and be like, oh, I know Elisa and Tony, you know, they posted a question about, you know, somebody wrote in about this. Or somebody asked about this. Maybe that's kind of what we're going through. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of all the housekeeping stuff. Does anyone have any, you can put in the chat, any questions or anything just about kind of the technical, can you pull up the chat just in case there's anything? Yep. Perfect. Any of the technical Facebook recordings, webinars, modules, any questions about that? I'm actually giving you permission to put that in the chat instead of in the Q&A.
Right.
I have no idea if we're using the program correctly.
Okay.
Amaya, we're going to be digging into breaking out each module and how to do that. So great question. Let me see if there's any other technical questions, and then, the chat program. Okay. Oh. Thank you for clarifying. All right.
I have no idea.
Can everyone hear us? Well, we have, okay. So as far as the chat program today, this is just a place where the, you know, just like on the webinars where you can you can, you know, conversation, if somebody comments on something, you can, you know, contact them that way, or just respond to them via that.
Steve and Melissa, you raised your hand, and I don't know what that means on my side. If then I can lower hand or remove. So I'm trying to figure out what that means here.
Okay. Are we supposed to be on video or just you guys?
If you want to be on video, you can. Yeah. That's totally up to you guys.
Do they have the, at the bottom? Okay. Hold on. At the bottom of your screen, do you have a bar that goes across so that they can't be on video?
Can everyone hear our voices? No, no, they can't. Not right now. I'm trying to figure out how to add you guys when you have a question. That's what I'm working on. I thought I was right here, but I can't find it.
Yeah, because that's technology. Yeah. So I think it probably has to be a conference call.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Christy. Okay. My bad on that. I thought you guys could.
It probably has to be a conference call.
Okay.
One of my coaching calls.
Yep. Okay. Gotcha.
So, guys, here's what we're going to do then. Yes.
Yes. Barry and Lana. Yes. Questions right where you put it there. Awesome. And then what we'll do there, when the questions go up there, just for everybody who knows, on our side, it says answer live or answer by text. And so we just hit, you know, answer live, done, and it clears it out. And so we know we've got all the, we know we've gone through those questions. Chat down here. Yep. But you have to open it in on your side. Oh, okay, Christy.
Christy, then, that may actually come too, because I do all my coaching calls on the conference call platform as opposed to the webinar.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have that option there.
No. So I think on the webinar we can't.
We will go ahead and, just because everybody's already on, we're going to continue with this one. If you guys have got specific questions tonight, we will just put them in the Q&A. Next week we'll switch over.
No, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, because you can't have that many folks on.
We'll figure it out. We'll get it figured out before next week. But let's jump into, you know, the technology, guys. It's one of those things where, for those of you that were, a number of you joined us last week for a webinar, and right in the middle, you know, it literally just, we got a little indicator that the internet was going down, and then it just stopped. So, you know, we just roll with it. That's why we record everything so that it comes back and that type of thing. But let's jump into module one or module zero, laying the foundation, because there was a lot of material in here that, yes, you know, some of you blame it on the vacation gal. No, I'm not blaming it on her. She actually, that would be fun. I wish I could, except that she doesn't do any of our tech stuff. That would be this guy, but I'm not going to blame it on the tech guy because I have to sleep with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, no point in blaming him on that. We'll just get it taken care of for next week. But looking at module zero, laying the foundation, you know, I know for some of you, even working through the quick tips brought some emotions into play. It brought some, you really had to confront some stuff just from the get-go. And honestly, that's intentional. And the reason for that is because what we're trying to accomplish with you in these 8 weeks is transformation. And transformation doesn't happen if we just kind of go, okay, well, we're going to be all warm and fuzzy and it's going to be all good. And, you know, we got 8 weeks. We got to like get into this and get moving. So in looking at the quick tips, and the reason I bring this up is because, that was one of the things I wanted to say. And I know we said it in the video. But if you can't do anything else in a week, just because, you know, maybe your kids are on spring break like ours are this week, or you're on vacation, or you're traveling for business, or whatever it is, get through the quick tips. Get at least that done, or have conversation on that, because it'll give you an overview of what all the other worksheets are, but at least this way you've done something. And no matter what, show up. Show up, guys, because that's where the transformation is going to occur, and hearing these conversations and talking with folks and connecting.
Hold on, and I want to answer one question because I saw it and it just popped back into my mind. Yes, for everybody, you guys have lifetime access to the program. So as we're going through in each week, if a week gets crazy on you, and like Elisa said, hey, all you can get to is the quick tips that week, or maybe one other video and one worksheet, that's totally cool. After the 8 weeks, you guys have access to all the information that's here, as well as we build it out more afterwards. So no worries. You'll keep that, keep your access information, because you'll have it here.
So I want to go over a few of these quick tips, because I think, well, I know they're important because I've worked, they're the same tips that I use with every couple that I coach individually. And the first one is to commit yourself to this journey. Rescue My Marriage Today is not an overnight program. It's not a magic wand. It's not fairy dust that we're sprinkling over your marriage. This is a transformational program. And the way it's going to transform the two of you is if you commit to it. And so what does that mean? It means that you have to participate, right? It means that you have to do the quick tips. It means that when your spouse wants to have a conversation, you find time to have a conversation. It means that when something isn't going well and you're stuck on one of the PDFs or you're stuck on a video and you're like, I don't understand it. It means you're going to put a message up in the Facebook group and say, hey, what about this or what about that? It means that you're going to choose to be an active participant, because the truth is, whether you've been married, you know, just under 2 years or 24 years, you have a specific reason for getting involved in this program. And some of you have shared that with us, some of you haven't yet. But whatever your reason is, commit to the process, right? And you both need to commit. The second one, and we're going to dig into this a little bit in some depth, because I know it caused a reaction for quite a few of you. The second one is to take divorce off the table for the 8-week journey. And we know, whenever we talk about Rescue My Marriage Today, we know that there are couples who are on the brink of divorce. Some of you may actually even be separated right now. And when Tony and I put out there, take divorce off the table, and we link to this podcast, and we talk about being 100% in, some of you are like, we're ready to put the brakes on right there and be like, this is not for us. Mm-hmm. And you know, I even had a few people reach out to me and say, you know, at least I listened to that podcast. How on earth did you take divorce off the table with everything that you've dealt with in your marriage? And if you haven't had a chance to listen to that podcast yet, some of the things that we've dealt with in our marriage have been, you know, Tony's pornography addiction that came mm-hmm. and lasted for what, the first 8 years?
8 years of our marriage.
The first 8 years of our marriage. We had debt and secret spending on my side that was ridiculous. I was queen of the credit card shuffle. I'm like, ooh, mm-hmm. let's see if he doesn't know, you know, and so that was on my side. Tony shares in that particular podcast, Taking Divorce Off the Table, that he would go on business trips, early years into our marriage, and he would go to bars and kind of test the waters to see what would happen, you know, if he could pick someone up. And so we knew in our own marriage that we had to make a decision that divorce was not going to be an option. And the reason why, and I want to be very clear, when you take divorce off the table in your marriage, that is not giving either one of you the freedom to do whatever you want. Right? It's not that free pass that says, well, if we've taken divorce off the table, I can go have an affair. I can keep up that secret texting with my coworker. I can keep lying to you, right? Because you're not going to divorce me. That's not it at all. When you take divorce off the table for the duration of this program, what you are saying is that you are both committed to being all in.
Right.
Right? Because if you have an exit strategy, and that's what divorce is. In our society, divorce is an exit strategy. It's saying, well, you know what, if it's not working for you, if you're not happy, if, you know, let's see, if things are hard right now, just get divorced. It'll be all better. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, divorce usually doesn't make things all better. Because guess what? You still have all the junk that you haven't dealt with. And I was talking to a gal the other day, and she was saying how a coach had told her, you know, you've already invested all this time with the person that you're married to. Instead of getting divorced, why don't you just fix your junk? And she said when she heard that, it was this eye-opening experience. And so I'm really going to challenge you. It wasn't easy. You know, when Tony and I decided to take divorce off the table, when we decided that we had to be 100% in, Emmaus says divorce solves nothing. I've been divorced. The problems just get more complicated. Absolutely. Right. You know, there were days when I still thought maybe this divorce thing would have been a good idea, right? It was hard. there were days when we didn't like each other. There are still days, almost 20 years in, when we don't particularly like each other, right? I mean, just circumstances, and that's just being truthful,
right?
You know, but we have, like, I don't even worry about it now. I know, because we've been walking this road so long, and that's the hope that I want to give each one of you, that if you both commit to taking divorce off the table, then every decision you make, you check against that. Okay, if, let's say, you know, if pornography is what's going on in your life, if I've committed to my wife not to look at pornography, then, or not to take divorce off the table, then is looking at pornography going to, is that in alignment with that decision, or is it in disalignment with that, right? Well, no. Looking at pornography, if you've decided to take divorce off the table, is not in alignment with that decision. So don't do it. You know, don't text that boyfriend from, you know, 20 years ago. Don't shuffle the credit cards and say, oh, how am I gonna, you know, like, I'll just put 50 on this card and 50 on that card. Don't lie to your spouse, right? And you'll find over time that with divorce not an option, that you've got to start making more and more choices that are in alignment with your decision. Hold on a second. Cancel. Hold on. We just got a weird little.
All right.
Okay.
Can you guys still hear us? You guys still all on? We just had something.
So does anyone have, okay, thank you. Does anyone have any specific questions about this idea of taking divorce off the table? Was it challenging to any of you? I know I've been talking about it a little bit. I don't know if you want to share anything on just from your perspective. And
yeah, I mean, hey, for the person who was, man, just sideways in this marriage, really just sideways, when we took divorce off the table, it really made me look at who I was married to and the adjustments that needed to be made for me and for our marriage as a whole. You know, it wasn't, you know, I always lived in a place of fear before that. Always lived in a place of fear because Elisa and I had talked about getting divorced twice. And so I always lived in this place of like, well, if I do something, she's going to leave me. She's going to take off. She's going to take the kids. And so when we just came together and we just said, this isn't going to happen, it really allowed me to just go, okay, I can start working on me and being me. You know, I could be truthful. I could be honest. I could, we say often on the show, I could take off the mask and show my real self and know I wasn't going to be loved less, but I was going to be loved more for who I am. And that really allowed me to start blossoming and growing as a man in my own marriage. And it allowed me to just deal with some of the junk. I mean, you've heard it on the show with Elise and I, for those of you who've been on and listening for a while, that it's not hard for me to just share that stuff because I know she's not going anywhere and I'm not going to go anywhere. Things are going to come up. Things are going to happen. And yet we know right here, right now, it's here we are, and we will work through those issues as they come along. And we have them on a weekly basis. We have two kids, we have businesses, we have, you know, church obligations and volunteering and serving and all this stuff that's happening in our lives. And so there are times when we blow a fuse. We, you know, we huff and puff a little bit at each other. And yet we know we're not walking out that door, never coming back or serving each other with divorce papers. So that's what helped me when that got taken off the table. It's almost like the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety was just taken away from me. And I could breathe knowing that everything I'm putting forward, everything I'm putting into this marriage is for naught.
And one thing I want to say, for those of you that have threatened divorce in your marriage, every word that you speak to and over your spouse in your marriage is a seed. And so, you know, if you keep threatening divorce, if you keep using that as an ultimatum to change behavior and things like that, I will tell you, I've seen more often than not that when couples threaten divorce, it eventually takes hold. Mm-hmm. And then it blossoms. And so that makes it really challenging. So you want to speak words of encouragement and you want to speak words of positivity into your marriage. Mm-hmm. The next one, like Tony was just talking about taking the masks off and being honest. This is going to be part of the process. This isn't something, you know, this is just, we're asking for the commitment on the front end that you do this and that you just choose in those moments, even if you feel uncomfortable, and it's okay to tell your husband or wife, this is really hard for me. Like, I'm tempted not to tell you the truth right now, but I'm going to walk forward and tell you this, even though I feel uncomfortable. Step number four, all of my coaching clients hear it from me that they should have a journal, because there's going to be stuff that you're going to be thinking about and swirling about and all this kind of thing throughout. What's that?
No, I just want to grab the journal.
Oh, I'm like, where are you going? He's leaving me already, you know, 20 minutes into the first coaching call. But having a journal, something that you can write in that just helps you to sort out your thoughts. I don't care if it's a spiral note, you know, a 59-cent spiral notebook from Walmart or Target, or if it's something that's a little bit more formalized. This is actually, okay, so this is a book called 40 Weeks, and you can see there it's by Heather Doyle Frazier. I actually went to school with Heather, and this is an amazing just exploratory journal helping you go through. She has another one, and we'll put links to these just in the resources so you can see it. Yeah. This is called the Daily Gratitude and Intention Journal. And the thing I love about this is that every day there, here, I don't know if you guys are gonna be able to see this. No, it's too bright. Every day you can put the date on there. And then the first thing that she puts in here, and this is why it's so brilliant, is that she starts with three things that she's grateful, or you start with three things that you're grateful for, and then what your intention is, and then what your committed action. So let's say this was me today. And so three things that I'm grateful for. One, we're in San Diego. The rain has stopped. We had rain over the weekend, so it's sunny again and 70, and that makes me happy. The second thing, Tony and I led a class at our church last night on marriage. We were facilitators. It was a transformational course last night, just seeing couples just break through. So that would be my second thing. And then the third thing is I got to help my daughter with her science project today. So that was the third thing that I was grateful for. And then the intention for the day was that I had a number of emails that I had to get through, and I had some content I had to write. And so that was my intention. And then the committed action was that I was going to, you know, set aside 45 minutes just to work on that. So that's how that works. We'll put links to Heather's books. She's a dear, sweet friend. And quite honestly, could we create one of these ourselves? Sure, but she's already done it. So we're just gonna refer people out. And you're gonna see too, in each one of the modules, that there's gonna be resources that we refer back to. Can you pull up this week's module? Because I just wanna show everybody. So in the module, you're going to have all your videos and, whoops, hold on. Yep. See, this is why you don't ever make fun of the tech guy.
You can keep talking.
So the last one on here for the quick tips was getting involved in the Rescue My Marriage Today Facebook group. And I know one of the couples put that they don't even have Facebook normally, but they created a profile just to be part of the group. So thank you for doing that. It's going to be a great place, like Tony said, for us just to share and connect and support and encourage for each one of you. So those were the quick tips. What I would love to know as we are getting started here, and Tony's going to pull up the resources so that we can see that as well. But what I want to find out as we're jumping into this is, are there specific questions or worksheets that you want answers to, that you need more help with, that type of thing? Okay, so here in just the other resources, oh look, I want to point to you guys. QBQ, the question behind the question. This is a great book that gets you looking more at what you can do instead of, you know, like, why me and this kind of stuff. It's what can I do to change this? The other book that's listed there is called The Journal of Best Practices. And this is a book, like, you guys having a lot going on in Rescue My Marriage Today, but if you are a reader, even if you're not a reader, get the audio copy. The Journal of Best Practices is one of the best marriage books I have ever read. And I found out about this book because I had a coaching couple come to me and tell me from the get-go that the husband had Asperger's. And so I was doing some more research on it, and I came across this book, which is the story of a husband and wife and their journey through Asperger's and their marriage. 99% of the couples that I coach do not have Asperger's in their marriage. However, I still want you to read this book, because what this husband figured out was that he did not know how to take care of his wife in the way that she needed to be loved and taken care of. And so what he did was he literally put together the Journal of Best Practices for his marriage. And it's comical or humorous in the story about how he went about doing this, because there were post-it notes and napkins all over the place. But what happened as a result of this journey is that he began to figure out, oh, she likes it when I do this. And instead of just having to store all of that up in his head, mm-hmm. he created a book for himself. And honestly, I think if more of us went into marriage thinking, I should create a manual, you know, for Tony, or Tony should have a manual for Elisa, we would have this idea of, let me just file these things away instead of, you know, just being like, well, you know, I guess I'll figure that out at some point in time.
And then we have a question here too.
Yeah, let's go. Bria is having a hard time with taking divorce off the table because of how Austin treats her, verbal abuse without acknowledging, addressing it, and how his family treats her and that Austin allows it. Is there a good solution for this objection? Well, we got a whole bunch of different things going on in there. So let's pull these apart. There is verbal abuse without acknowledging and addressing it. There is in-laws. And then there is the permission of how the in-laws are treating Bree. So there are a few things that need to happen here. One is we start with the married couple first. Mm-hmm. So if there is verbal abuse, which means if you are not speaking to your spouse in a loving manner, now that's not to say that you can't disagree, but you can't constantly be berating your spouse. You can't constantly be telling them, and it goes back to what I was saying just a few minutes ago about words being seeds. You can't be telling your spouse that they're no good, that they're worthless, that they can't do anything right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? That type of language in marriage is not okay. It's not. It doesn't matter if that's what you learned growing up. It doesn't matter if that's what your buddies say is okay. The words between a husband and a wife should be encouraging, should be uplifting, should be bringing the couple together, not tearing them apart. Because I will tell you, in every marriage where there's verbal abuse, there is someone who is scared to share their feelings. There is someone who is terrified of what they're going to say and how it's going to be received. And that's not a marriage. That's a power struggle. Mm-hmm. The second part of that,
can I say one thing to that too? If you think you cannot change, you can. We have been there in this place. Verbal, you know, explosions on each other. I have seen numerous marriages where this has been the case, and there has been change when there is intention. And knowing that the language that is being spoken, the words that are being spoken in harshness, in a put down manner, but it takes the willingness of you to go, whoa, 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 and I need to put myself in check, because where are those words coming from and where is that happening? For me, it was from a place of anger, you know, a place of just deep down inside, I was angry. And I had to work on that myself. I had to understand it. What were my triggers? What was happening? And then what Elisa said earlier was just allowing myself to plant those seeds of fruitful words, you know, words that are going to be uplifting to her instead of putting her down. And that takes work. It's a challenge. You know, I've been around long enough. I've seen it enough that many of us want to go to the negative, and we have to be able to look at what we're doing and why it's happening and be able to go, wait a minute, am I putting somebody down because I'm freaked out about something? Or is it that I need to just make a shift and go, wait a minute, if I have nothing good to say, then I just need to be quiet, mm-hmm. you know?
And that goes back to self-control, mm-hmm. and, you know, yeah. the ultimate lack of self-control is a 2-year-old who, you know, I shared this on a webinar last week, who is tired and hungry and it's 5 o'clock and they're in the checkout line and mom says, no, you can't have the candy that's literally like 4 inches, you know, like just that close to your fingertips. And so they just melt. right? Because they don't have the skills and the ability. We're adults. Every single one of you on this call is an adult. You do have the ability to exercise self-control. We believe it of you, and we're going to expect it of you. So, you know, if in this case, if the husband is struggling with this, then it's time to start working on where is that verbal abuse coming from? Why do you think it's okay? Right? Where is the pain inside of him that is coming out when he is triggered by something? And it's knowing what those triggers are, not so you can, you know, step around the triggers, but so that the two of you together can address those triggers.
And I want to say this is where the Facebook group comes in handy for all of us. This is where that area allows us to, or email us so Elise and I can see what's happening. So that way it's an ability for us to go, whoa, 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 we're going to hold you accountable to that. Mm-hmm. You know, wait a minute. You've set up your goals that this is what you want to be able to achieve throughout the 8 weeks. And so if that comes up, hopefully you'll be truthful and honest with us. Say, hey, I had an explosion. Okay, what were the triggers? Let's look at this. This is where the group coaching comes in handy, because it's not like, hey, go watch some videos and then come back. No, we're going to ask those questions. What was the trigger? You know, there are days when I'm just run down and I'm tired and I'm hungry and I'm sleepy. It's not the best time to have a huge conversation on whatever it may be that Elise and I need to talk about, you know? And if we go there, then I'm going to be cranky. And so, but you guys may go there and all of a sudden you notice that it's like, whoa, verbal throw up happening. And so that's what we're here for, to be able to hold you accountable, look at different areas that's going on, assign different reading books or audiobooks that you can listen to that you can digest and then put into practice each and every week.
So I want to just go to the two other parts.
Yeah.
How his family treats her and that he allows it. When you marry, the two of you become one. Mm-hmm. This right here, Tony and Elisa, this is the primary relationship.
And for you, that's your primary.
And for you, you know, your marriage is your primary relationship. So your parents or your family don't have permission to abuse in any way, to mistreat your spouse. And if they do, it's time to put guardrails around your marriage, right? Because I expect that Tony is going to protect me from everyone, including his family, right? And vice versa. Like he doesn't do battle with my family and I don't do battle with his family. If there's something going on with his parents, then he's the one to handle it. So in this case, it would be, you know what? Austin needs to go to mom and dad or whomever it is in the family that's allowing this and saying, you know what? This is not okay. And if you're going to continue to do this, then we're gonna put some space in between you and me, because Bri is my wife. I've made a commitment to her. This is my primary family relationship. And we are strengthening our marriage. We are doing what it's going to take for this marriage to go the long haul. So it's setting clear boundaries. It's identifying the fact that, again, this is not okay. I mean, I will tell you that years ago, you know, my dad, and we've shared this story before. This was actually even before we got married. I had gotten a job offer. Tony didn't want me to take the job offer. I called my mom and dad crying. I only talked to my mom. She told my dad. The story got a little warped. And my dad, this was, you know, like 20 years ago, so before email and everything else, Tony probably would have gotten a text message all in caps if it was now. Mm-hmm. But my dad sends Tony this typed, was it 2 or 3 page letter?
Yeah.
I don't remember. We finally got rid of it a few years ago. This typed letter about all the ways that, you know, Tony was destroying my life and how I had changed since I met him. And so Tony calls me and I call my dad and I'm like, you either take that back or I'm like basically ending my relationship with you. Because I knew that this was the man I was going to marry and I knew that I had to set boundaries around this relationship from the get-go, or else it was always going to be okay for my dad to do that. And I will tell you that it was very awkward for probably the first 6 years, mm-hmm. 5 or 6 years. That we were married. My dad still gave me away. My parents came to the wedding, but there was just this tension. that took time as my dad started to see, okay, you know what? She's for real. Like she, we got to do this on her terms. And if your parents don't want to, if they still want to like badger your spouse, then that's not healthy for either one of you because you're, you know, in this case, Bree feels miserable. Austin's not doing anything. It's not good for anybody. So if you, you know, for Bree to take divorce off the table, there are some things that have to change so that she feels safe. Because she needs to, there has to be a safety in her choosing to take divorce off the table.
Yeah. And I'll say even for my folks, the same way we had to, you know, I had to have that conversation with my folks. And it's not easy. It is tough. And yet, you know what, when you put those guardrails up and you go, this is what it is, it's amazing how over time, they respect that decision. A great book that I read some time back, Boundaries by Townsend and Cloud. Mm-hmm. They have a number of different editions of it now. That's another one to check out to understand how do we set these up? What are we going to do for us? And a lot of this, folks, I want to share. I mean, we're dumping a lot of information. And sometimes as we're going through this, you may have to pick one lane that you're going to go down right now. You're going to have to pick one area where you're just like, okay, we need to address this one this week. And that may be the one big thing that you address this week, because if boundaries are one of those areas that, you know, you're constantly feeling that, hey, everybody has access to us, or they're feeding us whatever they want and we're listening, then it may be time to say, hey, I love you, appreciate it. And yet we're not gonna take that advice from you. We're not gonna take those words from you, because it's not building us up. It's not doing us any good. And a good friend of mine, you know, each year he and his wife, they make a list of the friends that they hang out with from the year prior. And going into the new year, they'll go through that list because they only have so much time. They only have so much time. And this includes family as well. And they'll go through that list and cross people off. Doesn't mean that they don't want to be friends. Doesn't mean that they're not family anymore. It's just that they're not going to spend time with them. And I was blown away when I heard that. And it really sort of rocked me to go, wow, you know what? There are folks in family as well that just need to be sort of marked off the list because they're not feeding into you. They're not doing anything positive. They're not, you know, advancing you guys as a married couple.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go on to the worksheets just to go over them. Like I said, if there are any questions about specific ones that were a challenge for you, I'm just going to kind of summarize a few of them. I know you guys all saw them on the videos. The first one.
Before we go there too, we did have a question, somebody going, hey, how many videos should we be viewing? How many worksheets should we be doing? You guys, part of this is we're going through the course together, all 8 weeks together. You have lifetime access. So again, if you get caught up in one area, you know, Bree and Austin, we just dove deep in this area for you guys. You guys may just be right now on, let's take divorce off the table. And it may take up your whole week. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Stick there, because you can still come back and watch those videos. For those of you who want to stay on course, you know, we're going to typically have anywhere from 5 to 10 videos a week, depending on which module we're on. So you're looking at, you know, probably 1 to 2 a day, if you can get through them. Worksheets. I mean, this is an intensive course. This isn't something that, hey, I can just take until the last day and then be done with it. But if you get caught on something where you're just like, guys, we're on this video, we're in this worksheet, this is where we're honing in this week, we totally get you.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Bree, you're welcome. Bree and Austin, I see that. The first worksheet was all about why are we here, right? Because each one of you has a different reason for why you decided to do Rescue My Marriage today. Mm-hmm. And digging through these questions, I hope you noticed that they all start with, what have I done? What do I see as our biggest struggles, as our biggest successes? What have I been hesitant or reluctant to change in myself? What have I been wishing would change? What do I want in our marriage? And what do I want from our marriage? The reason those are all I questions is because you're the only one that can answer that, right? You can't, I can't look at Tony and be like, well, you should be doing this in our marriage. And you, if you were better at this, and that's great. I mean, there are definitely things, you know, I mean, we've been together for 22 years, married for almost 20. Are there things I would change? Sure. There are also things I've learned to live with, just like he's learned to live with, you know, the fact that I'm the messier spouse. But I can't change Tony and he can't change me. I can only take responsibility for and acknowledge the things that I have in my power. So that's why throughout these videos and the different modules, you guys are going to see us ask, what can you do? Because we want you to take ownership for what's going on and your role in the marriage. Nothing that has brought you guys to rescue my marriage today is 100% his fault or 100% her fault. It's the dynamic of the relationship and it's how the two of you are working through it that is going to make the change. If you look at your spouse and you say, this is 100% your problem, I'm telling you that's putting up a 10-foot brick wall. That's because it's not. And if you guys are going to get through it, there's got to be give and take on both sides. There's got to be work on both sides. So that was the first one. The second one was on what is my why? Mm-hmm. Right? And this is, Tony and I have talked about the why for a long time. And the reason it's so important to know your why is that, you know, like I shared and Tony has shared, there are days when, you know, this whole marriage thing isn't what it's cracked up to be, right? When you're like, ah, and yet I know why I'm married to him. I know why we do what we do. And because I've got a list of whys, if I go through the first five and I'm like, yeah, that's not doing that mind shift thing for me. Sometimes when I get to number 10, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Right? You know, it's the kids or our life goals together or what we want to accomplish or the fact that I still want to be married to him when I'm 90, right? I mean, that's, what, like another 50 some years, a little bit less than that, give or take. You know, that's a really big why. If I want to be married to this guy in 90, you know, because I see, I mean, you guys have all seen those commercials with the old couple and the walkers and they're holding hands. We've got a couple like that in our neighborhood. I want to be that couple, right? So if I want to be that couple and that's my really big why, then I better be doing stuff today and making decisions today that are going to get me to that old couple stage.
Yeah, right? We have to have vision. We have to have vision in our marriages, and we've lost that. Honestly, folks, we've lost that. We have vision for, you know, our jobs. We have vision for our businesses. We have vision even for our kids. You know, we have vision for everything else except what we've said I do to, or that person we've said I do to. And the big, you know, what is my why is allowing you to see that again, going, this is why I'm in this. This is why I'm here. You know, this is why we're going to continue moving forward. And in that video, I just share, you know, you need to make a list of those. Because like Elisa said, there may be days when you're just going, I don't know why I'm here. I don't. And that's when you have to pull out that list and start reading through it and going, that's why. Because I've, you know, you may have lost a little focus. And we need to have that. We need to have something that we're striving for. And our marriages, if we just let them go by the wayside, that's where they're going to go. You know, like Elisa said earlier, we've been facilitating a course at our church and just talking to some of these younger couples already who are, you know, married 2-3 years and they've already lost course. They're already like discontent and just sharing with them that, hey, you know what? Doing this, sharing your why you want to continue married, being married, you know, it sort of sparks a little like, oh, okay. They can see, you know, it's a vision. It's like, oh, okay. So I had a lot of trouble with that list. I only have 7 and 5 of them are people's names and who cares about our marriage? No,
5 of them are people's names who care about our marriage.
Oh, okay. Here's something really interesting. A good friend of ours also says about dreaming. And he calls it his dream list. And what do you get? Like 2 minutes, I think it is.
Yeah.
So you get 2 minutes to dream and you get a sheet of paper and you just write down 2 minutes, your dreams. And this is the same thing here. What is my why? And he says, if you have 5 or less, you're clogged up. You know, you're clogged.
He actually used the word constipated.
Constipated,
but, you know,
yeah.
Just to give you the full visual.
Right. And so, you know, you're clogged up. You're not dreaming big. You're not seeing the big picture. You got tunnel vision, right? And then he goes, you know, 5 to 10, you're getting there. you know, you're starting to open up more. 10 to 20, you're really starting to get that big vision of what's ahead or what's to come or what you're striving for. And then I think it was 20 or more, it was just like you're golden. Right. And don't get frustrated though, you know, your first time through, if you only got 7, it's okay. It just means, hey, you're clogged up. You know, those dreams, those visions, those why, you haven't thought about them. You know, you've been stuck in the muck, and the muck holds us back from seeing that big vision. You know, you're stuck in the muck and mud's been thrown at you, and it's sort of clouding your vision, and you just need to keep going at it. You know, failure is not continuing forward on something, you know? You continue moving forward. You keep learning. You keep growing. You keep going after it. And you go, oh my goodness. You know, and a good example is just even in our marriage, that 8 years ago, a place of almost getting divorced, 8 years later, here we are now. We've stubbed our toes many a times. You know, our whys have changed, you know, from that first time to where they are now. But we kept applying that. We kept looking at that to go, okay, here we are. What are those whys? And they've grown, but we have challenged ourselves through that.
And one of the things I would say too is that if you are getting stuck on your whys, the worksheet on the goals for the intensive and a trip down memory lane may actually help you. And the reason why I say that is when you start outlining what your goals are going to be part of your reasons too. Like if your goal is to, you know, for those of you that are married right around that 2-year mark, if your goal is to make it to year 5 on fire, just like lighten it up, and you're like, you know what, we're going to make the next 3 years, you know, maybe the first 2 weren't great, but we're going to jump into this thing, and we're going to, you know, it's kind of like newlyweds all over again. We're just starting our marriage from this point forward. And by year 5, you know, that's your big why. Like year 5, we're going to celebrate, and it's going to be, you know, like better than year 1. Or maybe you've been married 24 years and you're like, you know what, we are looking at kind of this whole empty nest thing, and we want to recharge our marriage, right? Because we want to travel together and we want to be able to enjoy, you know, dinner without having to deal with any kid having to go anywhere, right? Because you got nobody at home. Yay. You know, and that type of thing. So as you start going through your goals, you know, we want to have better communication. Okay. So one of your whys might be, I want to be able to have those comfortable talks, right? That's one of your whys. If sexual intimacy has been a struggle for the two of you, and one of your goals is to have stronger sexual intimacy, then one of your whys might be, because I want to feel more sexually committed to my marriage. I want to feel more sexually involved in my marriage. Maybe it's finances. And you're like, you know what, we've been on 2 different pages for so much of our marriage. And so one of our goals is to get to the point where, you know, like we follow Dave Ramsey on Instagram. And so I was, you know, every day he's got the people that are like, we're debt free. You know, so if that's where you want to be, you know, the goal is we want to be debt free, then backing up into that, one of your whys is so that we can, you know, change our financial future. Right? So you start looking at your goals. And the other sheet that I mentioned, a trip down memory lane, the way that that helps you work into your whys is, you know, when we're courting, dating, in the early years of our relationship, there are lots of, you know, like I wish that we could, you know, animate, you know, all of the like fluffy unicorns and rainbows and, you know, the sappy music right now, right? Because that's what it feels like. You know, everything's good and we're good and we're good and we're good and we got all these dreams and like we're going to be like the next amazing couple. And then we get married and wow, you know, life happens and it doesn't quite. But back then we had those dreams, right? And those dreams were a lot of your whys. Like we want to be the couple that breaks the generational curse of divorce in our family. Or we want to be the couple that figures out how to talk to each other because all we've seen are couples who fight with each other, right? Those are your whys, yeah. Right? So wherever you were then, pull those and say, okay, how do I look at this as a reason why I want my marriage to keep going? Whatever my goal is, how do I do that? Okay. And so Tony's just pointing out to me, the trip down memory lane was wonderful to relive, but then started a fight because of the frustration of what we've messed up. Okay.
Thank you for sharing that.
That is a normal thing to have happen. Yes. There will be times when you go through these worksheets and you're like, okay, like we're on a roll, we're on a roll, we're on a roll. And all of a sudden you're like, ah, oh, Like we were doing so great. And what happened? What happened is that you're just acknowledging where you are right now. Okay. So when you feel that fight coming on, when you know you're starting to be like, oh, well, then this happened and that happened, that's a good time to take a time out. And yes, adults can have timeouts. I don't think they should just be reserved for kids. Take a time out and go to your journals and just process what you're feeling, because the fact that it was good at the beginning, you know, as you're doing that exercise, that's the part we want you to hold on to. Yet it's okay to acknowledge that there were these negative feelings that came up. That's why you're here.
Right.
Right? You're here because there have been those mess ups. Right? Tony and I have got lots of mess ups. I mean, 6 years of podcasts, there are a lot of mess ups there. And that's just the last 6 years. The first 14 have got their whole slew of mess ups too. The thing is that focus on the good parts and let's get strategy for the parts where you messed up. Right? That's why you're here. That's why you're here. So thank you for sharing that. And know that it could happen again as you're going through these worksheets, because for so many of you, things have been stuffed for so long, right? Because it's easier to stuff stuff than it is to deal with it. And so the exercises are going to churn things up, and it's okay. And, you know, if that's one of those times where you may just want to, you know, shoot a message into the Facebook group, trip down memory lane, tripped us up, you know, just stirred up some emotions, or, you know, if you've got a specific question about it, send us an email at that RMMT question email address so that you can get that off of you. Don't let it,
Can I share something real quick?
Oh, sure, because I've just got.
Yeah, I know, you're rolling. I love it. So here's one thing I have to say too, when it comes to messing up. Hey, I've been there. And one of the biggest ones of my recent past is when we had a short sell our place here in San Diego some years back. It was probably one of the biggest low points of my life, you know, where I felt like I messed up, you know, and there's a point where I didn't even want to get out of bed. It was tough to even get out of bed. I was just so lethargic and just wallowing in my junk. And, you know, so when I relive my past and go down memory lane and I see that, it brings back some hurtful times. And the one thing that I had to learn and I had to do and I had to grant myself was forgiveness. I had to forgive myself. You know, I had to just be able to go, it happened. You know, I got to forgive myself. Elisa was way beyond. She had already forgiven me, and hey, it was a part of our lives and what we went through. And, you know, once I allowed myself to just really breathe that out and just allow myself to go, okay, forgiven, you've forgiven yourself, let's move forward. The sting wasn't there anymore. Like, it didn't have the bite anymore. So sometimes we have to look at ourselves and just go, hey man, I messed up. I screwed up in that situation. Forgive myself. You've already forgiven me. Let's roll. We got to extend grace to ourselves a lot more than we do. We tend to look at everybody else and go, well, look at all the good things they've done. And I've been around enough leaders and enough amazing folks to know that they mess up too. Mm-hmm. And as your facilitators for, you know, Rescue My Marriage Today, we will not come up here and stand here and say that we're perfect. You know, we mess up too. And we could go back and look at our lives and look at all the stuff that we want to relive and see those places where we've stubbed our toes, where we've messed up, where we've caused pain and hurt to each other. And yet, through that process of being able to forgive ourselves and each other, we're able to move forward and go, okay, this is where we are today. Let's start where we are today and let's make a new. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that helps you.
I just want to go through a couple more of these. I know we're right up on the hour. If you've got time, would love to have you hang with us for a little bit longer. If not, know that whatever we're covering is, you're going to get it in the replay. Yep. So just, we are aware it's been an hour. I just want you to know that. The forms of intimacy, that wheel, we want to make sure that you guys do that this week if you haven't done it already, just kind of to evaluate where you are at the start of the course, because we are going to ask you to do it again at the end. And we want to, you know, maybe you're just focusing on one area of the wheel. Maybe it's your emotional intimacy. Well, if you're at a one now, we want to see you get to like that 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, or if you're working on just expanding the entire wheel so that it rolls a little bit smoother, you know, knowing where you are today. And, you know, when you print out that sheet, fill out where you think you are and date it, and then just stick it in your journal or stick it, if you've got all of your papers in a binder, stick that together because we want to make sure that you've got that to go back to at the end of the course.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool one. And you can, you know, look at yourself from a 1 to 10. Be honest. Mm-hmm. Be honest. You know, like go through those and go, I'm not where I want to be. And that's okay. Hey, we can always strive to be more, to do more, and to look at ourselves honestly and go, okay, this is the one area I know I need to hone in on. And so as you're going through Rescue My Marriage today, maybe every module that we're going over, you're going right back to that area, that intimacy, you know, maybe emotional intimacy, it might be financial intimacy, sexual intimacy, whichever one it is, you're going back to it and going, okay, how does that apply to my life right here, right now, my marriage right here, right now, and how do I strengthen that? Because that's where I'm weak. You know, for us, emotional intimacy was really weak for a long time. Hence arguing, hence, you know, harsh words being said to each other, you know, hence, you know, just the silent treatment or the explosions. Working on that over the last 6 to 8 years now, you see that Elise and I have a pretty good flow of conversation. And even when you don't see us, I mean, I would love for us to have a video around us sometimes, because yesterday Elisa called me and she picked up the phone and started going off on something.
Talking.
And I just had to politely just say, hey, Elisa, right now I'm right in the middle of something that needs to get done and I can't give you my full attention. So let me finish up what I got and then I'll call you. And that is years of working on that, where prior I would have exploded. I would have just been like, I can't believe you're just calling me like this and asking me all these questions and asking me, you know, all this information I can't process. Instead, I just said, hey, I just cannot do it right now. I'm going to get back to you. And lo and behold, half an hour, 45 minutes later, I was done and able to, you know, I texted her and said, hey, can we get on the phone? And we were able to talk. So know that.
And the funny thing about that story is that when I was talking to Tony, I was on the car. So he was in speakerphone. And, when these communication strategies start to become a part of your marriage, when it gets incorporated in every facet of your life, you'll have conversations like I did, because I was in the car with the kids. So they heard this whole exchange between me and Tony. And one of the kids said, oh, that sounds just like the tone and timing you're always talking about. And that'll actually, you guys will get that joke a little bit more when you see the videos come for this week's module, because there was a whole video on tone and timing and the kids immediately picked up on the fact that Tony was asking for a different time so that his tone wouldn't overwhelm me and he wouldn't go into that angry space. Yeah. So you just, it becomes part of your life as you incorporate this. The last two worksheets that were in here is the About Me. And our kids are, we've got a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. So, but keep in mind, we've been doing One Extraordinary Marriage for the last 6 years. So we started when they were 7 and 4. Mm-hmm. And this is all they've known. And it's definitely interesting. Well, it's not all they've known. It's definitely been a big part of their lives, because we didn't always get it right when they were younger.
Right. And we started the 60 days of sex challenge when they were 5 and 2. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're going through these different life stages with them.
Yeah. Tony said, send the tone time now.
that's
you'll
coming
get
up.
It, you'll get it right after. Yep. Well, not right after. Right after?
Yeah.
Right
after. Well, what I'm going to do for each module, I want us to go through the week's module. And then after our call, I'll add it. Because I don't want you guys to get another one and then be like, Tony and Lisa, you're sending too much stuff. So, you know, that's why they'll come out after the call. Once we're done, we're going to have dinner. Sit down, chill, and then I'll get everything up to you guys.
And we can do dinner because it's only 7 o'clock here on the
Pacific. Did you do anything to repair negative impact on them during those tougher earlier years? On our kids?
Yes.
Yes. Did you do anything to repair the negative impact?
We have been working hard, honestly, for the last six years. Our kids, partly because we talk about communication so much, and as they've gotten older, they're very direct. they will call us on our junk on a dime. I mean, our younger
one. The youngest one will get me every single time I interrupt.
She doesn't let either one of us get away with anything. And which, you know, I'm already praying for her husband because she's got so much knowledge.
Yeah.
That the man that marries her is going to be very, very special. But that to say is we've worked very hard and have asked our kids for forgiveness. We are quick to come to our children and apologize for what we've done wrong. You know, those masks that we wear with each other as adults, we tend to wear them with our kids too and be like, well, you know, I'm mom and dad and it's because I said so. And so you just have to deal with it, whether I was right or whether I was wrong. And the truth is that if we're wrong, one of the best things that we can do for our family relationships, and it also improves the marriage relationship, is to admit it.
Say you're sorry.
Tell your kids, I screwed up. Like I told you one thing and then we did another, or I wasn't honest with you, or you know, something else came up and I gave you the short end of the stick. Not that it makes it better, but what you start to do is you start to lay the foundation of kids that understand, you know what? Grown-ups make mistakes. Because guess what? The kids know we make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But part of being a grown-up is taking personal responsibility for our actions. And quite honestly, if more people could take personal responsibility for their actions in their marriage, there might not be a need for one extraordinary marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because a lot of the challenges that happen in marriages are because somebody wants to blame instead of take responsibility. So, you know, working with our kids, I mean, we're very transparent. There's not a lot, like, I don't think there's anything the kids don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we approach it just like we approach our marriage and, you know, being open and honest. And it's sort of funny because my dad comes from the old school. He came from Italy when he was, a teenager. And so he didn't get taught, you know, or talked about like sex like we teach our kids. And so they were down actually celebrating my mom and his birthday and their 44th anniversary last week. And we were sitting down for dinner and sex comes up. And Lisa and I are just like, hey, we're going to start talking about this and no big deal. And you could just see my dad's eyes go and he's just quiet. And the next day we got in the car together and he said, he had some words with me and I'm just like, hey, Dad, I get it. I'm choosing to, you know, you want to talk about boundaries. Here's one of those places when we talk about boundaries and our parents, you know, my dad's like, I don't think that's, you know, appropriate this and the other. And I said, listen, Dad, I appreciate you and I love you. You know that. And yet this is my family and I'm going to bring them up in the way that I feel that is appropriate. And you know what? Because we have a relationship now, he said, hey, Tony, I going to have to just respect that. And I said, okay, I don't know what else you're going to say because I still love you and you love me. And this is the way I choose to work with my kids. So let's move on.
Question.
Okay.
I'm concerned about what he's been learning about marriage and how to be in a marriage. Should you share that with your kids, the learning curve? Absolutely. I mean, our kids know they're pretty perceptive. They know when we're in a fight. I mean, if it happens while we're on the phone, they obviously hear it because mm-hmm. I'm on Bluetooth in the car and you know, they know when we're working through things. And we made a decision because neither one of us had parents who were that transparent with us. And so we made a decision, you know what, we were going to be our kids' first line of education on everything. So not just how to relate to each other. You know, we talked to our kids about sex. They've known, you know, the basics since.
But this is a part of, you know, you say, I'm concerned about what he's been learning about marriage and how to be in a marriage, but this is laying the foundation, right? You start laying it now. You start sharing that now, you know, you start having those reasons why, you know, you start talking about those things too. What we end up not doing, I think a lot of times in marriage is that we always think everybody sees the tough stuff that's going on. The kids see it because, you know, we're arguing or whatnot. And yet we don't show them all the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So share with them your why. Why are you in this marriage? Why are you willing to spend time, your resources, to be on a call, you know, an hour plus a week to, you know, watch videos, go through worksheets, share that with them. You know, this is what it means to be in a marriage. It means that we're gonna fight for it. We're gonna go after it. We're going to do all that we can to have the marriage that we desire. Mm-hmm. Now, our marriage you know, mine and Lisa's marriage is going to be different than your guys's. We're all differently made, and what we're going to go for and what we're going to achieve together is completely different. But share that with them. Share the highlights. Share those. It's those things that they get to see that they go, wow, you know, my folks are, they're really in love. You know, they're kissing each other. Kiss in front of them. Hug in front of them. Hold hands in front of them. Squeeze them out, man. If you guys are out at an amusement park, you know, put them on the ends. I don't know how many kids you guys may have. I mean, if you want to share how many kids you guys do have, that helps us understand. We have two. So if we're out and Elise and I are holding hands, the kids can get the ends. They don't need to be in between us. You know what I'm saying? So do those things that fosters that love, that shows that to them. And also those are the good things. Those are the things that we're working towards. So, all right, let's move forward here.
Just a couple more. The About Me worksheet. And the reason I bring this up, and this may actually be, you know, just going back to the question that Brian Austin had, there may be some answers that come out of this particular worksheet for mm-hmm. them specifically that just kind of uncover where some of the behavior is coming from. And that applies to all of you. But as you go through this, I mean, we see things, you know, like, yeah, who is this in the chat right now? Okay, so Amaya was saying, you know, never seen your parents kiss. Well, if you've never seen your parents kiss or be affectionate to each other, then how that plays out in your marriage is going to be very different. I mean, my parents have always been affectionate. And Tony comes from, you know, if you've seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, just substitute Italian, and that's his family. I mean, everybody's in each other's business. They hug and kiss each other. So we both come from very affectionate families. That's our model, right? And so our kids, I mean, they just know. You know, I mean, and there was actually a season where Tony would like just lovingly pat me on the bottom, which was all fine and dandy until our son, who was probably 10 or 11 at the time, started patting. And you're like, well, Dad does it, you know, so let me, and I'm like, okay, that's weird, right? Like, I don't need my son patting me on the bottom, right? And so we had to set some boundaries there. But, you know, it's one of those things where as you start working through this and you're like, oh, well, I never saw my parents be affectionate. Maybe that's why I struggle with affection. You know, or, you know, my parents didn't have a marriage where they talked to each other. So, you know, that's your role model, right? And so you wonder, why don't we talk to each other? Well, when I really think about it, like, I never saw my parents talk. Well, you start uncovering those things. And, you know, as you start to look through it in, you know, there are a couple of people, somebody said all our issues are directly related to our childhood. That's not uncommon, right? Because that's where our modeling comes from. Wherever we're planted for, you know, the first 18 years, we take a lot of that information in, and it's not always the best information. And, you know,
and I'd love to share just a little bit of my childhood, and Elisa, if she'd like to share hers, just so you guys know where we're coming from, right? Because we typically don't share that stuff on the show because it just doesn't pertain most of the time. But you know what? I grew up in a household where my dad never said he loved me. Never. My dad didn't say he loved me until I was 42, 36. I was 36 years old when my dad said he loved me. I grew up in a household where my dad and my uncle and their brother as well, another one of my uncles, construction workers. They were gone, and I remember this as a young kid in the 80s. They would leave on a Sunday night, and I wouldn't see my dad until Friday night when he got home. And then when I had sports, it was usually down the street where I lived and where I grew up, and my parents never came and saw me play. I played freshman football. My parents never came to one game. So I share this because we all have had childhoods, traumas, or things that we've held on to for so long that have just been like, well, because my parents did this, this is the way I am now. And that's the only way I'm ever going to be. And I'm going to tell you, it's not. It truly is not. When you apply yourself, those things that have happened, you can actually directly make change. I began to pray for my dad and pray that he would say, I love you at one point in time. The way that change happened in my life was that every time I had, remember we talk about the I a lot, not what you can do, because I couldn't force my dad to say, I love you. There's no way I was going to call my dad up and just say, hey dad, you know what? You need to say, I love you to me, because that's what I want out of you.
And I'm not laughing at the story. I'm laughing at the idea of that even happening and how it would, like it couldn't.
It just couldn't.
Yeah.
That wasn't him. I mean, my dad was a guy when he would come home, he was a hardworking man and I appreciate all he did. I mean, he put food on that table every single night, even though he wasn't there, busted his rear. And yet I never had that affection. And so what did I do? I had to be the change. So what I decided to do was that I had to, hey, see you later, Vogel. You'll catch the replay. You can catch it from here on. We'll see you guys next week. What I had to do, and I had to make a choice, was every time I got off the phone with my dad, I just said, I love you, Dad. Knowing that he was most likely not going to say it back. And guess what? I was right. Because it was many months of me getting off the phone just saying, at the end, I love you, Dad. And he would just hang up. And then one day, I said, I love you, Dad. And it was like that quick. He's like, I love you, Tone, and hung up. And I was like, what? He just said, I love you. But it was months of me being willing to put myself out there. And honestly, there were many a times when I didn't want to even put myself out there. I was tired. I was frustrated. And yet I just felt this calling to just say, you know what? Just keep telling them that. Just keep loving on them. Keep loving on them. And now there are times when we talk and I'll be running through my day and I'll forget to say, I love you at the end. And it's my dad who catches and he's like, hey, Tone, I love you. And then I am able to do that. But we've all had our childhoods and I really believe that we can overcome them. We just need to look at us and go, okay, what are we going to allow to seep in? And what are we going to just sort of kick aside and go, hey, that's what we dealt with. And some of you have dealt with even more stuff, bigger things. And we get that. And so we're not going to placate that. We're not diminishing that at all. No way, no how. And yet I still believe that when we put ourselves in a place where we're talking about, you know, the why are we in this, the about me, all these things, we can start to unfold it and move forward. The key here with Rescue My Marriage today is that we take ourselves where we are now and what can we do moving forward each and every day to have the marriages we desire and the life we desire moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So just to touch on the last one before we get off here, and then I am going to ask each one of you that's still on a question, because it's the coach in me that we have to ask a question at the end.
And if anybody else has questions, make sure you put in the Q&A or chat. Chat seems pretty fine right now too. It's not crazy like a webinar.
We actually have time to spend with each one of you in your comments.
Yeah.
The last worksheet was on the rejection zone. Mm-hmm. And the reason we put this in the very first module zero, laying the foundation, is because rejection is a big part of marriage these days. We reject our spouses in so many different ways, be it in the bedroom, be it having a conversation, be it spending time together. You know, it's one of those things where it's become so easy and so commonplace just to say no. And the truth is that the world tells us no all day long. No, you can't have this. No, you can't do that. No, you can't get promotion. No, you can't get a raise. No, you can't, you know, you can't get through that traffic light because it's red and it just sits there for 5 minutes, right? There's all these ways that we're saying no. Your marriage needs to be a safe place for the two of you to say yes to one another. It needs to be a place where you desire to say yes. And so that's going to be a big part of Rescue My Marriage today. And this doesn't mean that you say yes to everything. It's kind of like, you know, taking divorce off the table is not a free pass to do whatever you want. You know, taking rejection out of your marriage isn't a, you know, doesn't mean that every time somebody wants to have sex, the answer is going to be yes. Because, you know, there are just times when the timing's bad, right? I mean, we've had that in our own marriage. Or, you know, when it's time to have a conversation, it's not always going to be a yes, but we're going to have strategies along the way so that it's mm-hmm. not an out and out rejection. Because here's the thing, rejection over time, that just wears a person down. It wears both of you down. The person that's always advancing or asking gets tired of being rejected. And the person that's on the other side is just like, why do we have to visit this one more time? Well, the reason why is because the two of you have been missing some strategies. So as you go, as you're, you know, launching off, this is the, you know, the last worksheet in this module zero, laying the foundation, really need you to think about where rejection has played out in your marriage. Because it's one of those things where I think you'll see that a lot of what's gone on in your marriage has also been as a result of rejection. You know, a few of you said childhood issues, and, you know, rejection in marriage is another one of those areas that really impacts couples. So I posted a couple questions in the Facebook group that you guys right. saw and saw the responses to. I do have somebody that wrote in specifically about taking divorce off the table. And building support groups and things like that. And there was a question about, you know, specifically this wife said, my husband doesn't have a lot of friends, you know, and that may be part of the reason why these behaviors are happening, right? And it's true. Men and women need to have friends that are not their spouse, right? I can't be everything that Tony needs me to be. Like, I'm not the guy you go and shoot hoops with, and I'm not the guy that, you know, he gets up at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning and go rides his bike with. I'm definitely not that guy. Not that guy at all. Right? He needs guys that he can just talk business stuff with, and he needs guys that he can, you know, just talk nothing with. Right? He needs that just to fulfill that male friendship need that I could never fulfill for him. And vice versa, I need women who I can, you know, talk chick flicks with, and I need women that I can go shopping with, because as much as he likes to shop, it's not the same. It's not the same shopping with Tony as it is with my girlfriends. And so you need to have those friendships with people who are marriage encouraging and marriage supportive. So this is not, you know, like go out and find guys who are, you know, hanging out at the bar every night talking bad about their wives. Those are not the kind of guys I'm talking about. Those are not the friends that you need in your life. You need to, whether it's through, you know, if you belong to a church, are there men's groups? You know, Tony belongs to two different men's prayer groups. He's getting ready to go on the men's advance. They don't even call it a retreat because our church believes that men should be advancing. So the men's advance, which is like this 3-day testosterone-filled, Christ-centered experience. And I'm just like, blessings, just make sure your health insurance is up to date, please. And pack extra Band-Aids because I hear there's usually blood. You know, but I encourage that because I want him to do that. You know, find, if there are couples friends that you guys are friends with, maybe the guys can get out and do something together, mm-hmm. right? Encourage it. Be like, hey, we'll take the kids and you guys go do something.
And I just want to say something real quick. It doesn't happen overnight. This is one of those things that you gotta, mm-hmm. gotta push forward. I have a good friend here now in town that we started grabbing a coffee a year and a half ago now, maybe. Yeah. About a year and a half ago, a year. And I'll tell you, that was tough. Cause at that point in time, I really didn't have a lot of guy friends that I could really call on. And he and I sat down and we just started talking about some stuff. He'd gone through some life issues and just was run down. And I was just looking for, you know, somebody else that I could just talk to, text. And you know what? I'll tell you, it's just like anything else. It's what you put in. And so if you're able to just even text somebody and say, hey, what's going on and how you doing, pick up the phone, that connection can mean a lot. When you need it, we're here at this group. I'm here for you guys. Honestly, I'm here for you men. I want to help you advance. I want to help you become the men that you desire to be, the husbands you want to be. And so I'm even picking up some new books myself, reading them and going over them that I'll be sharing with you guys. So don't ever hesitate to just, you know, on Facebook, if it's something that you guys need and just at Tony me, you know, just hit me, say, hey, Tony, this is what I got going down. Let me know. I'm here for you. I truly want to help you guys really feel comfortable in your skin, feel comfortable in your marriages. So that way you can prosper. You can live abundantly where you're at. So,
somebody said, we have no married friends. Amaya said that, you need married friends.
Yeah.
I'm going to be direct. We were the first one. We got married 20 some years ago, almost 20 years ago. We were the first ones in our group to get married. And it was one of those things where like, it was a lonely place because they're all dating and having fun doing the dating thing. And we're like, oh, we're the married couple now. Right. And it, as we've been in different seasons in our marriage, you know, it's been, we've needed other married couples to bounce, you know, people that are farther down the road, we need them to go, okay, so there is light at the end of that tunnel, be it with kids or finances or whatever. People that are, you know, behind us, you know, younger marrieds, to be able to just be, to be an encourager,
right?
So you need that network.
And that's what this group is about, right? That's why we did a group program and not individual, because we wanted you guys to know that there are other couples here. And as we get to know each other and talk to each other, we're able to encourage each other, right? And it's amazing what can happen when we're in community together and cheering each other on and helping each other through difficult things. We come to find out that we're not alone, that somebody else in the group has gone through that. And that's what we're here. And maybe we're not in, we're not all in San Diego. We're not all in, you know, Denver or wherever you may be in the country or the world. And yet we can still be that encouragement for each other. Somebody asked, can my spouse get on Facebook? Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you and your, if you don't have a joint account and each of you want to be on, by all means, just send the approval and even just hit us and say, hey, this is, you know, this is so-and-so, because sometimes we don't see that the names don't come across correctly. And believe me, we make sure that everybody in our group is in the program. So yeah.
And best way for men to contact you? That was the question up here.
How do contact men me? Yeah, I mean, the same way that we've shared before on Facebook or the RMMT question at oneextraordinarymarriage.com. You know, those go to both of us, which is cool. I mean, Elisa sees stuff and she'll just flag it, or Jan, when she gets back, Jan will see something and then she'll just flag it to for me.
And okay, yeah, go feed your kids. No, thanks, no, yeah, no starving kids.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do want to say, because I'm a coach and that's what we do, and we're coming up right on the hour and a half, and so we're going to let you guys go so that Tony can drop that next module. But before we do, I have a question to ask you, and I want to know, just from those of you that have been on or what you've looked at in this first module, laying the foundation, tell me what your biggest takeaway is. What are you going to take action on this week? What's the one thing? Like, don't have, I mean, you may have like 15 things where you're like, oh, we should do this and we should do that. And we should, oh my gosh, what about this? No, just one, I'll put one finger, one thing, one takeaway, one thing that you're going to work on. Just put it up in the chat so that everybody else can see it. Or if you are listening to the replay on this, drop it in the Facebook group. I'll do a post that says, you know, week zero or module zero, laying the foundation. What's your one thing? And just put it in there. And the reason that I do this with coaching clients and with all of you is because when you identify one thing, you don't feel so overwhelmed.
Right?
You can look at all these videos and Tony's going to drop the new one tonight. And you can be like, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff. Well, one thing is manageable. 30 things, you just get paralyzed. So, you know, for some of you this week, is it going to be that you're just going to put guardrails around the family? Right? Is it going to be, I'm going to actually, Tony said tone and timing. Mine is taking divorce off the table and timeouts. Thank you, beautiful. Christy. Those are big ones.
Right. And if you're struggling on this and you're like, not too sure what it is, don't hesitate to ask us. Say, hey guys, come to us and say, hey, let me know. Help us get to that place where we can say, this is what we're going to work on this week. Because sometimes you got the sort of the rose colored glasses on and you're not just seeing everything clearly. And that's sort of hindering you. And between Elisa and I, you'll see Elisa more in the Rescue My Marriage Today Facebook group answering, because she does great with this stuff. I love her for that. And so, but believe me, she's knocking things off of me too. And I'm seeing it too. So divorce is off the table.
Amaya is saying one thing, we're initialing our quick tips. And I love that, because that's the accountability of saying, you know what, I've read it. And if I'm initialing it, I'm committing to it.
The hardest part was looking in the mirror and accepting my own fault rather than just blame my spouse. I think every module hit home hard to pick on. Awesome. You know what? Yeah, sometimes we have to. Like,
it's so much easier to think about what he has to fix than what I have to fix. It's so true. But I can't fix him. I can fix
divorce is off the table. The quip tips are signed. Yes, I second owning my own stuff. Awesome.
Awesome, yeah. You guys. Well, we're 1 minute over. It's 7:31 our time.
Hey guys, we don't have a time. We know we're going to come and we're going to bring it.
I mean, honestly, you guys know that we could talk. I mean, some of you have been on webinars with us where we go 2.5 hours.
We're going to bring it. And so come on when you can. Some of you had to leave. We get it. We don't have attendance here. What we want to do though is we want to make sure that we are giving you everything that you possibly can get, answer all your questions. So that way you can walk away from each one of these calls going, okay, I heard something there, or they talked about something in the video that I saw that wasn't making sense, or I went through the worksheet and I was getting stumbled up and they were able to share a story. Don't hesitate either. You know, share your stories with us. Email, Facebook, share them, because we can use those. And believe me, you guys are walking through this and you're going to have a testimony. You're going to have a testimony that's going to rock people that are around you. It's going to rock people who are in this group, but it's going to be that testimony that nobody can take away from you, that they're going to go, oh, well, that was, you guys were like, you know, so out of it 8 weeks ago. And you're going, yeah, that was us 8 weeks ago. This is who we are now. And nobody can take that away from you. And we're going to be here standing up for you, fighting for you, tooth and nail, because we truly believe in each and every one of you. For, you know, again, standing up and going, we're in it. We're here. So
there's any reason I love him so much. Natasha said, my husband promises no more silent treatment. I will tell you, as the one who most often delivered the silent treatment, that is a huge gift to your marriage. It will not be easy because it's a default behavior. That was me.
And if you need some tips and ideas and skills, again, Facebook group, Elisa,
yeah, put it up there.
I'll be happy to chime in there.
But what I wanted to say is that, you know, where I was, gosh, that was probably 8 years ago, mm-hmm. when maybe 8, 10, I don't know. It's been a long time. When I stopped defaulting to the silent treatment, and sorry, I just got distracted by seeing the 60 days of sex pop up in the chat. But when I stopped doing the silent treatment, it was transformational in my marriage. Yeah, see, 60 days of sex. It's like squirrel.
Woo, squirrel.
Squirrel.
No.
You know, so that is, it's going to be transformational for the two of you. And so what I would say to you, Natasha, is to be patient with him and, you know, for your husband to just take it one day at a time and to, like, let Natasha know when you're starting to feel like you're going to go down that path of the pulling out and doing the silent treatment, to just let her know that you're feeling that way so that the two of you can work through it.
All right. So here's my thing with the 60 days of sex challenge. It's a big commitment. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that you guys seriously not do it while we're doing Rescue My Marriage Today. And here's why. Because it takes a ton of effort. It really does. You need to be committed to that time. And so what I would say is get yourselves really just flowing through Rescue My Marriage Today, and then either pick up the 60 days or your face is or pick up our book, the 7 days of sex challenge, which I think you could do honestly during Rescue My Marriage Today. Because 7 days, we have found that it's way more manageable and not as consuming. And when I say consuming time-wise, it's a tough, it's a lot of effort. It's a big commitment.
It's a big commitment. And, you know, you guys are committed to, you know, working through each week of Rescue My Marriage Today. And so what we learned even when we were doing in the 60 Days of Sex Challenge, because we also tried to... we tried to incorporate like daily prayer in that. I think there was something else we tried to layer. Like your brain's going, okay, what am I supposed to do now? And if I drop this one, did I drop everything else? And so it's just saying, you know what? Focus on one thing.
Yeah.
Focus on one thing. And, you know, that's not to say, Christy and Tony, that there won't be a time for the 60 Days of Sex Challenge. I'm not going to give you permission to say no, because we just talked about no rejection and that kind of thing. What I would say, Christy, instead of telling Tony no, is just say not right now, and then give him a time frame on when you're going to be willing to talk about it again. Right. So if you want to say, you know what, let's talk about it, you know, June 1st, after Rescue My Marriage Today is over, if you want to talk about, you know, if you've got something significant coming up over the summer that you want to talk about it around there. But if we can get in the habit of, instead of just saying no to our spouses, but to give them a time frame when we can talk about something, it's going to cause a shift for the two of you. So you can't say no. You just got to say no right now.
Right. And that's, you know, with any type of conversation, sometimes it's just not the right time to be talking about it. It's when we do the flat out no, and then don't give any intention or idea of when we're going to talk about it. That's where a lot of just hurtful feelings, anxiety come up, because when are we going to talk about it again? Are we going to, do I bring it up again, where you can say, hey, right now it's not the time, but June 1st, let's pick it back up. Let's talk about that and see where we're at. So anybody else have any questions before we close it down for today? If not, you guys have been awesome. I will figure out some of the audio issues, because I would love for you guys to be able to call in or use your audio, so that way you can call in and ask your question, because I'd love to hear your guys' voices. You guys hear us all the time. Barry, you're welcome. Thank you. And Lana, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You're welcome, Chrissy. Love you guys. What a fantastic first session. Look forward, just as a heads up, module one goes up tonight sometime. Video for recap, or the repost of the video, the coaching call, hopefully be up by tomorrow. That's my goal. We got to get everything done. So you guys are great. Thank you. Love you guys. And any questions, again, Facebook group, email us. You know where we're at. We're here for you. We're fighting for you. See you next week.
All right.
Bye.